Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, okay. Testing, testing. All right. We were just listening in on our current events situation here. And we just give honor to God. Excuse me, I praise, thanking God to be here so late at night, but despite all, we're here, and we're just giving God all the praise and the glory, because if it had not been for the
talk show,
where would we be?
Recorded live.
Started with a little praise and worship. We played Your Grace and Mercy. If it wasn't for God's grace and mercy, I know for a fact, I don't know. I just thank God for his grace and mercy.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay, we're cross-streaming, and tonight we have a great night. We are studying the Pentateuch. The Pentateuch. And that is something that anyone studying the Word of God needs to be familiar with. The Pentateuch is the first five books of the Bible. They were mostly, scholars believe they were mostly written by Moses. There are many, most of these books contributed, no, most of these books is where laws came from. Origin of laws. It's the first five books of the Bible, and there are some verses in the Pentateuch that would appear to have been added by someone other than Moses, but they're saying most of the books, Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, all of the first five books were written by Moses. They describe the beginning of history, and it describes, the Pentateuch also describes the death and burial of Moses. Most, if not all, scholars attribute the majority of these books to Moses. Even if Joshua or someone else actually wrote the original manuscripts, the teaching and revelation can be traced from God through Moses. For the Pentateuch. So the Pentateuch is the first five books in the Bible. And we're going to start tonight with just an outline review of the book of Genesis. And we'll be specifically looking at our objectives to identify a basic outline of the book Genesis, identify the main message of the book Genesis, and identify the revelation and promise of Christ in this book. We're doing a module which features a survey of the Old Testament in the English Bible. Emphasis is placed on the major themes, the key scriptures, and major personalities of Genesis. Special attention is given to the revelation and promise of Christ in each book, in this case, in the book of Genesis. So we look forward to a very informative and enlightening Bible study here. God, we just thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, take over. Enlighten us, God. Give us the revelation that we need to continue to do your work. Have thine own way, God. God, we give you praise and glory. You brought us through another week. You didn't have to do it, but you did. We come to say thank you, God. We praise you. We exalt your name. God, we thank you that what the devil meant for bad, you're using for good. We know, God, in your time, things are going to turn around. I call Jonathan Litton, Boydin Gray, Daniel Labowitz, Adam Abansky, any other demon associated with cursing our governance structures, trying to usurp authority they do not have over man, I plead the blood of Jesus that that spirit will be broken, that those characters and their actions will be arrested. And I plead the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. That is my prayer. That is my vision. On behalf of the betterment of the human race, I bind up every Satanist working against God's work on this earth. I bind up in the name of Jesus every Satanist trying to usurp authority over our governing structures, usurp authority over men in general. I bind that spirit up in the name of Jesus, and I plead the blood of Jesus for that to be broken. God, I thank you in advance for letting the devil know that he is a liar, that he will not deceive your people. God, we thank you, God, for a guide to life, a history book. We ask you, God, to give us understanding and clarity on the court system that was developed from the Old Testament, Heavenly Father. We're studying the Pentateuch, Lord, the books of law, the law books of the Bible. God, give us understanding, Heavenly Father, to be able to utilize that system, that legal system that was developed from the Bible, that we will be able to utilize it, God, according to your will. The reason it was created, for justice to reign, for righteousness to reign, we thank you, God, that you've chosen us. And let us stand up with our assignment by continuing to study the Word of God so that we can articulate the Word of God, the Word of righteousness, across this earth. God, we give you praise and glory. We exalt your name. We magnify your name, Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, for the privilege of prayer. Thank you, God, for the thirst for learning. We thank you, God, for yearning to do your work, Heavenly Father. Let this be a blessing, Heavenly Father. Let this lesson be a blessing to those going into ministry, to just people in general, Heavenly Father. Let them be able to use the materials to develop in profound ways the work against evil this earth. God, we praise you. We thank you, God. You didn't have to do it, but you did. We're allowing us to come together as unified prayer warriors, specifically praying to band up, to band our prayers together, to dismantle the targeted individual program, to dismantle judicial crimes, to dismantle fictional administration, judges acting as attorneys and defendants, people in high positions, Heavenly Father, using their positions to reverse righteousness. We bind up, we plead the blood of Jesus that nonsense will be stopped. And when it gets to the level that it's killing people and harming people, Heavenly Father, we ask you, God, for divine intervention to cover us with the blood, that none of their schemes to defraud will impact any part of our lives. I ask you, God, to bless each listener, participant, downloader. Cover them with the blood of Jesus in all that they do, Heavenly Father. Bless their children and their children's children, Heavenly Father. Let them be men and women of God. God, we exalt you. We thank you in advance, God, for what is yet to come. The turnaround that's about to come, Heavenly Father. God, we thank you. We thank you, God, that we've learned that while we cross bridges, that you gave us the patience needed to cross that bridge, to see, to wait it out, to keep our faith, to see when things turn around. We thank you, God, for our elders. And we ask you, God, for special protection over them. I call my mother blessed and highly favored, and the gift of longevity to stay with her and to cover her and bind up every curse, every assault, on every attempt to do sleep deprivation. I bind that demon up in the name of Jesus. I bind up everybody victimized by sleep deprivation and programming and the targeting of seniors with that program. Satan is a liar. But I thank you, God, for enlightenment and knowledge of such programming, so that I can deal with this accordingly, according to your will. God, give me the skills necessary, because it is difficult. God, I ask you to bless Anne's mother, Amy's mother. Cover those seniors, Heavenly Father. Irene's mother, cover her in the name of Jesus. She was going in the hospital. Bless her, Lord. Be with her. Direct her. Let her make a U-turn, God, if it's not under your plan. God, we just thank you for this time that we can come together to be edified in your word. We give you glory. We give you praise. We thank you, God, for the upcoming week. And we know, God, that we will be blessed and highly favored because we serve a living and a mighty God. God above all gods. Thank you, God, for this lesson on the Pentateuch. As we learn about the legal system, its creation, where it came from, how they adapted things from the courts of heaven. And, God, we thank you, God, that you put the legal system here on this earth as a wall of protection against the enemy. We ask you, God, to continue sending your people to utilize the court system as a wall of protection against the enemy, to plug in your people in that system, God, so that righteousness can reign where it's supposed to reign from. That is court system. We bind up every deception Satan used to turn it, to reverse it, to turn it around. We decree and declare it will be used for what it was created for, and that is to keep enemy forces away from man. God, we praise you, we exalt you, magnify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're looking at Genesis as the part of the Pentateuch, and we'll go over again, an outline. We'll look at an outline of Genesis. I'll go over the keys to Genesis, details and highlights of Genesis, a little focus on creation, a little talk on the tree of life, and we'll do a little quiz. Kind of long, but okay. All right, we're looking at Genesis as part of the Pentateuch, the first book of the Bible. In Genesis 1, I'll be doing the outline. Genesis 1 talks about the beginning of history. Talks about the creation. In Genesis 1, we have the creation of the world. The creation of man is in Genesis 2. We have the fall of man in Genesis 3. We have the fall of man in Genesis 3. Then we have after the fall, the conflicting family lines, Genesis 4. The initial conflict, Genesis 4. The ungodly line of Cain, Genesis 4:16. Chapter 6, Genesis 4, 16 to 24 verses. Then we have the godly line of Seth, chapter 4, verses 25 and 32. We have the judgment of the flood, Genesis 6. We have causes of the flood in Genesis 6. We have the judgment of the flood, Judges 6. Then we move to the actual flood in Judges 7. We have the results of the flood in Judges 8, and we have after the flood in Genesis 8. Then we have after the flood in Genesis 9. Then we have the judgment on the Tower of Babel, Genesis 10. We have family lines after the flood, that's in Genesis 10 also. We have judgment on the family lines, Genesis 11. And we have our patriarchal history, Genesis 11. Genesis 11, we'll find the life of Abraham. We'll find the introduction of Abraham. We will find the covenant of God with Abram in Genesis 12. That page, okay. And I hope this theme in the background's not coming in too loud. But it's cold in New York. And we thank God for the theme here. Okay, so we're at Genesis 11, which was the introduction of Abram. The covenant of God with Abram comes in on Genesis 12. We have ratification of the covenant, Genesis 15. Institution of the covenant, circumcision, Genesis 17. We have testing of the covenant, that is Genesis 18. The consummation, Genesis 21. We have the life of Isaac, Genesis 25. The family of Isaac, Genesis 25. The family, the failure of Isaac, Genesis 26. The failure of Esau, Genesis 26. The life of Jacob, Genesis 27. Jacob gains Esau's blessing. That is in Genesis 27. We have Jacob's life at Haran, Genesis 28. And Jacob returns. We have Jacob's return in Genesis 32. We have Jacob's home in Canaan, Genesis 34. The history of Esau, Genesis 36. Then we go into the life of Joseph, Genesis 37. The corruption of Joseph's family, Genesis 37. The exaltation of Joseph. He was moved up after he suffered, Genesis 39. The salvation of Jacob's family, Genesis 42. Genesis is the book of beginnings. It is the first five words of the Bible. The first five words of the Bible are a very important introduction. In the beginning, God created. This was the first moment of time as we know it, and the universe came into existence. God had no beginning, for he existed from eternity. This was the first work he did outside of himself. Genesis is a book of beginnings, inspired by God and written by Moses. The word came to Moses by the only one qualified to give it, God. The Christ of Genesis. Genesis moves from the general to the specific in its messianic prediction. Christ is the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. From the line of Seth, Genesis 4:25. The son of Shem, Genesis 9:27. The descendant of Abraham, Genesis 12:3. Of Isaac, 21:12. Of Jacob, 28:10. And of the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49:10. Christ is also seen in people and events that serve as types. A type is a historical fact that illustrates a spiritual truth. Adam is a type of him who has to come, Romans 5:14. Both entered the world as sinless men, through a special act of God. Adam is the head of the old creation. Christ is the head of the new creation. Abel's accepted offering of a blood sacrifice points to Christ, and there is a parallel in his murder by Cain. Melchizedek, righteous king, is made like unto the Son of God, Hebrews 7:3. He is the king of Salem, peace, and who brings forth bread and wine, and is the priest of the Most High God. Joseph is also a type of Christ. Joseph and Christ are both objects of special love by their fathers, hated by their brothers, rejected as the rulers over their brothers, conspired against and sold for silver, condemned though innocent, and raised from humiliation to glory by the power of God. Only God can do that. Targeted individuals, take heed. Take heed carefully. The Bible is a book of history. God could do it for Job, Joseph, and Christ. What more? Must stand in faith. Don't let no demon tell you. It's just how it is. You're going to be in the sick program. No, 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 no. All right, Genesis, our key words in Genesis. Key word, beginning. Genesis gives the beginning of almost everything, including the beginning of the universe. Life, man, Sabbath, death, marriage, sin, redemption, family, literature, cities, art, language, and sacrifice. Our key verses, Genesis 3:15 and Genesis 12:3. Our key chapter is Genesis 15, central to all of the scriptures, the Abrahamic covenant, which is given in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and ratified in Genesis 15, 1 through 21. Israel receives three specific promises: the promise of a great land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates; the promise of a great nation, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth; the promise of a great blessing, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Genesis 12:2. You have survey of Genesis. Genesis is not so much a history of man as is the first chapter in the history of the redemption of man. As such, Genesis is a highly selective spiritual interpretation of history. Genesis is divided into four great events, four great people. The four great events, chapters 1 through 11, lay the foundation upon which the whole Bible is built and center on four key events: creation, fall, flood, nations. The four great people, once the nations are scattered, God focuses on one man and his descendants through whom he will bless all nations: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Details and highlights of Genesis. God tells us what happened in the beginning, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, it's emphatic. Other ancient religions with speaking of creation indicate that it came about out of something that was already there. They see history as occurring forever in cycles. The Bible looks at history in a linear way with a God-given goal. God had a plan in creation, and he will carry it out. Several implications flow from the truth contained in the first verse of the Bible. Since God is the source of all that exists, human beings and nature are not self-existence, but owe their being and continuance to the Most High God. All existence and life is good. It is related rightly to God and dependent on him. All life and creation can be eternally meaningful and purposeful. God has sovereign rights over all creation by virtue of being its creator. Lose my space. By virtue of being its creator, remember that God has all sovereign rights over all people. Since God is the source of all that exists, human beings and nature are not self-existence, but owe their being and continuance to him. All existence and life is good. It is related rightly to God and dependent on him. All life and creation can be eternally meaningful and purposeful. God has sovereign rights over all creation by virtue of being its creator. In a fallen world, he lays claim to those rights through redemption. Exodus 6:6, Deuteronomy 21, Luke 1:68, Romans 3:24, Galatians 3:13, 1 Peter 1:18. The God of creation. God is revealed as an infinite, eternal, self-existent being who the first cause of all that is. Never was there a moment when God did not exist. Psalms 90, verse 2. In other words, God existed eternally and infinitely before creating the finite earth. He is above, independent of, and prior to all that has been created in heaven and on earth. 1 Timothy 6:16, Colossians 1:16. The activity of creation. God is the creator. God created all things in heaven and earth. Genesis 1:1, Isaiah 40:28. The original creation was without form. The Bible describes God's creation as formless, empty, and covered with darkness. Genesis 1:2. At that time, the universe and world did not have the ordered form it has now. It was empty, barren of all living creatures, and void of all life. After this stage, God created light to dispel the darkness. He gave form to the universe and filled the earth with living things. Genesis 1:2-1, verses 2-28. God spoke the word. The method God used in creation was the power of his word. Over and over, it stated that God said, in other words, God spoke the heavens and the earth into being. The entire Trinity, not just the Father, was involved in creation. The Son is the powerful word through whom God created all things, John 1, 1 through 3. Paul affirms it in Colossians 1:16. Finally, the author of Hebrews asserts emphatically that by his Son, God made the universe, Hebrews 1:2. Likewise, the Holy Spirit had an active role in the work of creation. He is pictured as hovering over the creation, preserving and preparing it for God's further creative activity. The Hebrew word for spirit, ruach, may also be translated as wind and breath. Thus, the psalmist affirms the role of the Spirit, Psalms 33. The purpose and goal of creation. God had specific reasons for creating the world. These include a manifestation of his glory, majesty, and power, Psalms 19:1, Psalms 8:1. By looking at the entire created cosmos, from the immense expanse of the created universe to the beauty and order of nature, we cannot help but stand in awe of the majesty of the Lord God. God created the heavens and the earth in order to receive back the glory and honor due him. All elements of nature, the sun, the moon, the trees, the rain, snow, rivers, hills, animals, they shout out praise to God who made them. Psalms 98, 7 through 8, Psalms 148, 1 through 10. How much more does God desire and expect to receive glory and praise from human beings? God created the earth in order to provide a place where his purpose and goals for humankind might be fulfilled. Adam and Eve were created in God's image so that he could have a loving personal relationship with man for all eternity. God designed humans as a triune being, possessing mind, will, emotions, which they can respond to him freely as Lord and worship to serve him out of faith, loyalty, and gratitude. God so desired this intimate relationship with the human race that when Satan succeeded in tempting Adam and Eve to rebel against and disobey God's command, he promised to send a Savior to redeem humankind from sin consequences, Genesis 3:15. In this way, God would have a people for his own possession who would enjoy him, glorify him, and live in righteousness and holiness before him. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, and Ephesians 1:11 through 12. The culmination of God's purpose in creation is recorded in the book of Revelation, where John describes the end of history of God living with us, Revelation 21:3. Creation and evolution. Evolution is the predominant view regarding the origin of life and the universe proposed in the scientific and educational community of the contemporary world. Bible-believing Christians should consider four observations about evolution. Evolution is a naturalistic effort to account for the origin and development of the universe. The view begins with the assumption that there is no personal divine creator who made the fashioned world. The teaching of evolution is not truly scientific. According to the scientific method, all conclusions must be based on indisputable evidence gathered from experiments that can be duplicated in any laboratory. However, no experiment the book of Genesis. We are studying the first five books of the Bible, which are called the Pentateuch. And we're just summarizing the important events in Genesis and the key ideas. Okay. All right, so we looked at the teaching of evolution and how it's not truly scientific. To accept evolution, one must have faith in a human theory. The faith of God's people is contrast. It is in the Lord and his inspired revelation, which states that he is the one who made all things out of nothing, Hebrews 11:3. It is undeniable that change and development within various species of living things occur. For example, some varieties of species are being extinct. On the other hand, we occasionally see new strains forming within species, but there is no evidence, not even in the geological record, which supports the theory that one kind of living thing ever evolved from another kind. Rather, existing evidence supports the Bible's declaration that God created each living creature according to its kind. Genesis 1:21 and Genesis 1:24-25. Bible-believing Christians must also reject the theory called theistic evolution. This theory adopts most of the conclusions of naturalistic evolution, adding only that God started the evolutionary process. Such a theory denies the biblical revelation that ascribes to God an active role in all aspects of creation. God is not a passive supervisor of an evolutionary process. Rather, he is the active creator of all things, Colossians 1:16. The heavenly bodies are to be signs to man. God intended that the sun, moon, and stars serve as signs that point to him, as well as mark the advancing days, seasons, and years, Genesis 1:14. Astrology has been twisted these intended purposes for the stars by proposing the false theory that the stars and planets guide people's lives. Stars and planets do not guide people's lives. God guides people's lives. The creator of man was God. We also read about the creation of human beings in Genesis 2:7 and Genesis 18:23, which gives more specific details about their creation and environment, Genesis 1:26. These two accounts are complementary and teach several things. The creator of man was God. What does that teach? Both man and woman were a special creation of God. Matthew 19:4, Mark 10:6. Man and woman were both created in the image and likeness of God. On the basis of this image, they could respond to and have fellowship with God and uniquely reflect his love, glory, and holiness. They were to do so by knowing God and obeying him, Genesis 2:15. They possessed a moral likeness to God, for they were sinless and holy, possessing wisdom, a heart of love, and the will to do the right, Ephesians 4:24. They lived in a personal relationship with God that involved moral obedience, Genesis 2:16, and intimate communion. When Adam and Eve sinned, their moral likeness to God was corrupted, Genesis 6:5. In redemption, believers must be renewed to the original moral likeness, Ephesians 4:22. Adam and Eve possessed a natural likeness to God. They were created personal beings with spirit, mind, emotions, self-consciousness, and power of choice, Genesis 2:19. In some sense, man and woman's physical makeup is in God's image in a way not true of animals. God gave to human beings the image in which he was to appear visibly to them, Genesis 18:1-2, and the form that his son would one day assume, Luke 1:35, Philippians 2:7. The human beings were made in the image of God does not mean they are divine. They have been created on a lower order and are dependent on their creator, the Most High God. Psalms 8:5. Okay. All human life is derived initially from Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:20. Okay. Second account of creation. The second account of creation is in Genesis 2:4-25. This is not contradictory to the first account in Genesis 1:2-3. It explains in greater detail the creation of man and woman, their environment, and their probation. Chapter 2 of Genesis gives details in topical fashion, whereas chapter 1 gives the chronological order. Man is made alive in a special way. The giving of life to human beings is described as the result of a special act of God in distinction from the creation of all other living things. Genesis 2:7. God specifically imparted life and breath to the first man, an indication that human life stands higher and in a different category from all other forms of life. And there is a unique relationship of divine life to human life, Genesis 1:26-27. God is the ultimate source of human life. Genesis talks about two trees. Two trees in the garden had special importance, Genesis 2:9. The tree of life. The tree of life was probably intended to make physical death impossible. It is related to eternal life, Genesis 3:22, Revelation 2:7. God's people will have access to the tree of life in the new heaven and new earth, Revelation 2:7 and Revelation 22:2. The tree of knowledge of God, good and evil. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was designed to test Adam's faith and obedience to God and his word. God created humans as moral beings with the ability to choose freely to love and obey their creator or to disobey him and rebel against his will. God requires obedience to his word from the beginning. From the very beginning of history, the human race has been bound to God through belief and obedience to his word is absolute truth, Genesis 2:16, 3:11 through 12. Life is through faith and obedience. Life through faith and obedience is presented as the governing principle in Adam's relationship to God in Eden. Adam was warned that he would die if he transgressed God's will and partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This threat of death had to be accepted by faith based on what God said. Since Adam had not yet seen human death, moral test. God commands. Genesis 2:16 was given to Adam as a moral test. It placed before him a conscious, deliberate choice to believe and obey or to disbelieve and disobey in his creator's will. Believe and live. As long as Adam believed God's word and obeyed, he would continue in eternal life and in blessed fellowship with God. If he sinned by disobeying, he would reap moral disaster and a harvest of death. Genesis 2:17. Temptation comes. In this verse, the serpent attacked God through God's creation, Genesis 3:1. He stated that what God had said to Adam was not true, Genesis 3:3-4. He ultimately caused God to curse his creation, including the human race that God had made in his image, Genesis 3:16. The serpent is later identified with Satan. The serpent is identified as Satan. The devil, Revelation 12:9, Revelation 22. Satan evidently took control of the serpent and used it as an instrument in his work of temptation. 2 Corinthians 11:3, Revelation 22, and Matthew 4:10. You can be your own God. From the beginning of the human race, Satan has tempted humans to believe that they can be like God and decide for themselves what is good and what is evil. Genesis 3:5. Humanity is a false god. Humanity, in seeking to be like God, became independent from God and as such became a false god. Humans now seek to gain moral knowledge and ethical discernment from their own minds and desire independence from God's word. Nevertheless, only God has the right to determine what is good and evil. Then we had false worshipers, false gods. Scripture declares that all who seek to be gods will perish from the earth, Jeremiah 10:10. This will also be the fate of the Antichrist, who will proclaim himself to be God, 2 Thessalonians 2:4. God had a plan. Through Adam, though Adam and Eve fell through temptation, God would not allow the perpetrator to get away with it, Genesis 3:15. This verse contains the first implicit promise of God's plan of redemption for the world. It predicts the ultimate victory for mankind and God over Satan and evil by prophesying of a spiritual conflict between the offspring of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the offspring of the serpent, Satan and his followers. God promised here that Christ would be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14, and would be struck through his crucifixion, yet he would rise from the dead to completely destroy, crush Satan, sin, and death for the sake of salvation of the human race, Isaiah 53:5, Matthew 1:20. Man followed his own desires and lusts. The wickedness of man increased, Genesis 6:5, the Noah days. The character of human sin was blatantly manifested in two primary ways: sexual lust, Genesis 6:2, and violence, Genesis 6:11. Human depravity was not changed. It is still through lust and violence that evil finds unrestrained expression. Today, immorality, ungodliness, pornography, and violence dominate our societies, Matthew 24:37. There is a flood coming. God flooded the earth in Genesis 7:6 with the great deep busting forth that brought subterranean waters, perhaps by earthquakes and great tidal waves from the oceans, with torrential rains for 40 days. The waters covered the earth and only receded after 150 days. Every living thing outside the ark was wiped out, Genesis 7:23. God tested Noah's faith for 150 days. He had no idea when the waters would subside or when God would intervene again. Then God acted out of concern and love for Noah and his family. God's dealings with Noah are recorded to give all God's faithful people hope and trust in his ways. The call of a family. The call of Abram begins a new chapter in the Old Testament revelation of God's purpose to redeem and save humanity, Genesis 12, 1-3. God intended to have a man who would know and serve him with devoted faith. From this man a family would come who would know, teach, and keep the ways of the Lord, Genesis 18, 19. From this family would come a chosen nation of people who would be separated from the ungodly ways of other nations to do God's will. That's all of us. From this nation would come Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the promised offspring of the woman. Several important principles can be deduced from Abram's call. The principle of separation. Abram's call involves separating himself from his country, people, and household in order to become an alien and stranger on earth, Genesis 12:1. In Abraham, God was establishing the important principle that his people were to separate themselves from all that hinders his purpose for their lives. The principle of the earthly land. God promised Abram a land, a great nation through his descendants, and a blessing that would affect all the nations of the earth, Genesis 12:2. The New Testament clearly teaches that the last element of this promise is being fulfilled in the missionary proclamation of the gospel of Christ, Galatians 3:8. The principle of a heavenly land. Abram's call involved not only an earthly land. Not only an earthly land, but a great nation through his descendants and a blessing that would affect all the nations of the earth, Genesis 12:2. The New Testament clearly teaches that the last element of this promise is being fulfilled in the missionary proclamation of the gospel of Christ, the principle of a heavenly land. Abram's call not only involved an earthly land, but also a heavenly one. His vision came to encompass an ultimate home, no longer on earth, but in heaven. Abram henceforth desired and sought a heavenly country where he would live forever with his God in righteousness, joy, and peace. Hebrews 11:9-10, Revelation 21:1. The principle of